lands me at the sea in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
We're fucking back, bitches. Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Katie Nordgren.
And I'm Chris Sheffa. And Katie's back from the UK. Hooray!
Yay! Rosé all day. Just back from the UK.
Yay.
Slurp.
You guys wouldn't have known this because we were so good at keeping up our podcasting schedule, but Katie's been gone for like 3 fucking weeks.
Yeah, and you were gone for like a week before then, but we haven't seen each other in like almost a month.
Which is crazy.
It's unheard of.
I kind of feel like I still have seen you all the time.
Yeah, we talked constantly while we were gone. We had a lifeline to each other, and I would wake up in the middle of the night and talk to you.
Basically.
Not on purpose.
It would just worked out well because I would be on my lunch break at work and Katie would be like up in the middle of the night needing a chat and I'd be like, perfect.
I'm awake.
Distract me from all of this work stuff.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, this is our first recording in close to a month. Mm-hmm. I'd say like about a month probably. So yeah. Wow. Okay. What have we been up to?
Lots of things.
Chris, let's start with your trip to Oregon.
To Oregon. It was lovely. So I went and visited my friends in Eugene and in Portland. I did a little bougie treat myself kind of thing where instead of traveling for 12 or 13 hours straight, I decided to take a stop in Seattle first.
Nice.
So I did a Seattle overnight. I took myself out for a fancy dinner at like a local wine bar, stayed in a really, really swank-ass hotel. And then took the train down to Eugene. And it was the old school train that I've never taken before. It's the Coast Starlight.
Ooh, check it out.
It was the double-decker old train that had a dining car that you had to make reservations and, like, go sit in the dining car. It was very fancy. It was the friendliest train ride I've ever been on. So, it's the train that goes from Seattle to Los Angeles, which is really fucking long.
City of Angels.
And so everyone, I guess, was, like, settling in for a long-ass train ride.
For a long winter's nap.
So they all wanted to just get to know each other, which is so weird. I just put my headphones in and, like, ignore everybody when I'm traveling.
Right.
And the rest of my life. But everyone just started talking to each other right away, so I kept notes of the people that you meet on the train. There was the young horologist, a.k.a. watchmaker, from Indonesia, who's moving to L.A. I put in brackets, he was young and cute.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot, hey?
Wow.
Interesting stuff. So he was, like, gonna make a life for himself in Los Angeles.
I only just found out what the word horologist meant a couple of weeks ago, so it's interesting that you would bring it up again.
Because oh, really?
I read about it, for some reason, in the comic book Sex Criminals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
That has some time travel elements in it, doesn't it? You freeze time.
Yeah, with fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, horology.
Yeah.
Which is a great name for it.
There was a whole family from Atlanta that were going from Seattle to L.A. I guess they live in Seattle now. And the guy, like, the dad, they had so many teens. They had, like, 5 teens or preteens.
Too many teens.
But so they were all just, like, wandering the train. Like, there was a whole, like, an observation car that had, like, floor-to-ceiling glass windows so that you could look outside. And I guess at night, you can watch the stars, hence the starlight thing.
Wow.
As you go along the Pacific Coast.
And glamorous.
All the, like, seats recline back so you can just lie down and watch the stars on the train. I kind of want to go on the fucking train to L.A. now.
Well, let's do it.
It seemed really nice. You can get, like, a sleeper cabin.
Yeah.
So cute.
I literally just watched Murder on the Orient Express last night.
Let's go on a train ride.
Let's get murdered on a train, Chris. Let's let Hercule Poirot solve our murder on the train. Oh, we killed each other because we loved each other too much.
Oh, no. That's the answer to everything.
It's Kenneth Branagh's Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, I want to see it.
Directed, starred in it. I don't know if it's good, but I loved it.
Because
he is the hammiest ham. I called him a gilded ham on Twitter, and I feel like that's very accurate. I had to message one of my old close friends from high school, Paula Mossbrucker, who lives in, I think, Toronto now, and because we were obsessed with Kenneth Branagh for some reason in our grade 12
class. Hamlet.
Because of Hamlet. So this one,
I liked Kenneth Branagh because of Hamlet, and then also the other one with Emma Thompson.
Much
and they
ado.
Were married, yeah.
Yeah. I just think he's great. I love him. And he's really good as Poirot, and the accent's terrible, but I love it.
I mean, it's supposed to be, isn't it?
He has the most extreme mustache. It's not like a little whoop, it's like a big fucking honking guy.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's beautifully filmed, and I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this because Johnny Depp is in it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in it in the capacity that it's very easy to watch Johnny Depp in the movie.
Does he get his ass kicked a bunch?
Well, you know, someone has to be murdered in the movie.
Oh, excellent.
He is the murdered one.
Nice.
And I kept thinking, like, oh, he's probably going to come back and actually be the murderer or whatever. Like, no, he's just so super dead, and he dies real early on. So.
I mean, that's great.
Yeah, so sorry for the spoiler retroactively, but, like, yeah, I really don't like Johnny Depp anymore, so I was like, fuck, how am I going to handle this movie? Easily, it turns out.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's really fun. I recommend it. It's a jolly little... little excursion.
I would 100% watch that because I really liked reading all the books.
Yes, and so trains. So now I'm like, yeah, let's take a train. Let's probably not get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in love with trains now too. So
this family was so cute though. They were like the dad.
They're teens.
All of the teens, and the dad was just, like, sitting, like, chilling while his kids were just roaming around. He's like, man, I remember that we used to cram all of us in a station wagon, and, like, you couldn't get out of the car, you know? This is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
So they could just, like, walk around and not bother him, and it was very cute.
So they could just bother other people?
They were good teens. They were actually extremely good teens. They just...
extreme teens.
Yeah, they
polite
just...
polite edition.
They just, like, went to the little, like, lounge car and played cards. It was cute. There's no Wi-Fi on the train, so they had to, like, do analog things. There was, like, a nerdy guy who was, like, he was too excited that I was playing Civilization V. Like, he saw it over my shoulder, and he's like,
ew.
Are you playing Civ 5? Like, I didn't tell him that I was also listening to a Dungeons & Dragons podcast at the same time.
Yeah, for the best. He would have just jizzed himself to death.
Yeah. But he kept trying to give me advice on how to play the game, and I had to, like, tell him just, like, I just want to play this for fun. I like exploring the maps. Like, I don't need strategy about battles. He's like, oh, but if you do this and whatever, I'm like, I don't care. Thank you. I don't care. And he was nice about it. And then he wound up sleeping, like, the whole way, which was funny.
Wow.
In the dining car, because they make you sit with strangers. You can't sit by yourself. There was a grandma rancher from Eugene.
Ooh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and she was from the outskirts, and she's got 4 generations on her farm right now.
Holy shit.
So it's her daughter's husband, the daughter's husband's parents, no, the daughter's husband's grandparents.
Oh, okay.
And their kids, so it's like great-grandma, grandma, mom, and kids.
Okay.
And she was just like, yeah, we didn't plan on having them all move into our house, but...
here we are.
That's how it is, and they're in the process of building other houses on the property because they have a huge acreage and whatever.
Right.
But she's like, right now... we don't get a lot of privacy, and you don't really realize when you just live by yourselves for a long time, her and her husband,
mm-hmm.
she's like, you don't really realize how, like, insular and eccentric you get until somebody, like, tells you. So she's like, yeah, we don't get a lot of privacy. There's a toddler that opens our bedroom door a lot. And I was just like, freaky grandma, and she's just like, yeah, well, we still got it. But they're just not getting it because they don't have the privacy. So she's like, I can't wait till that other house is built and the children can leave my house.
Oh my God, I couldn't imagine. That would be so annoying.
It was very cute. And there was a mom and her 8-year-old son who were, like, world travelers. This kid was just, like, so confident and, like, able to travel everywhere,
so
which is
cool.
So cool. And then, finally, my seatmate was an executive assistant from the Philippines.
Oh, wow.
And she just wanted to talk to me about, like, management stuff. And then I mentioned, you know, my name was Christina. Oh, it sounds like, you know, Christmas and Christ. And we started getting into Catholicism a bit. And then she's just like, oh, my favorite pope is Pope John Paul II. And I was just like, oh, yeah, bitch. Like, I met him.
You like him? I met him 2 times.
2 times. And I'm like, yeah, he was my dad's priest. She just freaked and she just wanted to talk to me all about the pope a lot.
Just, there's something about, you know, I don't like any organized religion, but there is just something about Pinoy Catholicism that is so passionate
yeah.
that I really appreciate.
So, yeah, she, like, I'm looking at my back pages of my journal, and it looks like I was a crazy person, because I kind of was for a little while. I was, like, in such need of getting away.
Yes.
That I just, like, scribbled down everything that I need to do. But I wound up having, like, the most beautiful time. So I got to Eugene.
Yeah.
Drove my friend's car around for a while, explored the city.
Nice.
Like, went to their contra dance performance, which is, like, it's like square dancing, but you do it in, like, a big line with, like, partners, and you go in and out, and you element. So it looks like it's a combination of square dancing and, like, Renaissance courtly dancing.
I was just
going
to say, like, at Renaissance-y dancing, where
yes!
you touch your palms together
yes!
and stuff?
Yes, it's called an allemand.
oui, mon chéri.
Allemand is German. I guess it's the French word for the German dance.
Yes,
anyway.
Exactly. Allemagne.
But it was very sweet, and then I got to hang out with my, like, essentially my nephew,
mm-hmm.
who's 10 or 11 now, mm-hmm. so we got to just, like, curl up in a comforter and just, like, play video games together.
It's cute.
It was so cute.
That's so lovely.
I like him so much. We, like, drove out to the beach. I really wanted to go to Hot Springs, but
there was an avalanche.
All the roads got closed, so I couldn't drive to Hot Springs, which was too bad. Mm-hmm. But instead, we drove an hour the other direction and got to the beautiful beach. So I got to see sand dunes and, like...
Yeah, the picture was amazing.
It's so pretty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, sand dunes, which was great. I got to babysit my friend's kids so that they got to have, like, a little...
A date night?
Yeah, just doing their own things, but, like, with a little less stress kind of thing, which mm-hmm. was good. I went up to Portland and just had a really nice time with my other friends and their kids. And, like, this little boy, he's so cute. And he just, like, remembered me, sort of, or at least, like, took to me again the same way that he did when he was really little.
Like, I know that I've seen Auntie Chris before and I liked her.
Yeah, and, like, he had one day where he was, like, so tired and it was just, like, having a meltdown. And so I said to his dad, like, okay, take him out to the car and I'll finish buying, like, whatever we were buying in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And he's carrying the kid away and the kid's, like, reaching out behind going, Chris, no, Chris! And he's, like, freaking out. I was just, like, my heart was breaking and he's so cute.
How old is his kid?
3.
Aww, that's
I love
an intense
him.
Age.
The feelings. He's so sweet. So, yeah, I don't know. I just, like, hung out. I wrote down in my journal, I was like, just fort building and cuddles. I, like, didn't explore Portland at all.
Yeah,
it was just rainy and cold, and so we built a fire every night and just, like, cuddled with the baby and read books. And
that's really what you needed.
It was awesome. And, like, had really just good talks with my dearest friends. Like,
hey.
You know. What I mean, present company is, like, you're the top fucking tier.
You fucking better be.
Yeah, you're my best friend. They're my dearest friend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, totally. Best is above dearest. I just need to know where I am in the fucking hierarchy, Chris. I'm totally kidding.
As if there's any question, you
there
bitch.
There isn't. There is not. Bonch.
You bitch.
Bonch.
But it was, yeah, it was a really, really restorative trip. And I got a lot of inspo about, like, shut up. I said that. Of just, like, you know what, I'm in a really interesting position in my job right now where... I have the ability to make a lot of change, and let's just try to make as much change as possible that they can't undo very easily. So I kind of got, like, a second wind and then went back to work feeling, like, a hell of a lot better. So
that's
that was
so good to hear.
Really, really, really good. So I'm just like, well, I know if I ever feel stressed again, I'll just take the train down to Portland, get a fucking pep talk from good old Jesse Matheson, who's a fucking dreamboat. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So, and his wife, Chanoa, is also a dreamboat, and they're so fun.
It's a family full of dreamboats.
Yeah. And then it was just all comedy for the rest of that week. I just went to
the fest
every comedy show.
How was the fest? I missed the whole thing.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Great.
I don't know. I saw really good shows pretty much every night.
Goddamn.
And I even didn't go to all the ones that I...
Shit, goddamn.
You know, was gonna go to and stuff, and just, like, everything was super
awesome. Did you have a favorite?
I think Beth Stelling was outstanding.
She's so fucking funny.
She's so funny. And then she sat next to me at the next show that I went to, and I was just like, you're great.
That's really cute.
Yeah. So, she was kind of a highlight. And I just, yeah, Maria Bamford and Jackie Cation. Like,
our girls, our gals, I love them.
So, so good.
Yeah.
Who else did I see? I did see Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher. And they were so good because it was just, like, they did their, like, you know, duo kind of riffing together for, like, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they actually went to, like, do their stand-up, they're like, so, like, we're just going to try some new stuff and it's going to be a bit risky. And so, like, Rhea Butcher just talked about period stuff the whole time, and Cameron Esposito talked about sexual assault stuff the whole time. And it was just, like, these are both really intense and, like, dark funny that I haven't seen from them in a while, because normally...
Normally Cameron does the period jokes.
Yeah. But it was, like, really good. I was like, holy shit. So, that was very...
That's awesome.
Very queer crowd. Oh, and I saw Lorde! Oh my god! I had a really fun week, I guess.
Yeah, I saw Lorde with Run the Jewels opening.
Yeah.
Crazy lineup. Love that.
Lorde is so good. I was really not expecting much because I've seen lots of live shows of hers, like, at festivals and stuff, but this is, like, her first stadium tour.
Right.
And they built a beautiful set, and she had amazing costume changes and sang perfectly, and the backing tracks were all synced up perfectly so that she could, like... rest her voice a little bit.
Right.
Like, I remember there was a song that I've sung before, like, with a backing band and stuff for New Year's.
Perfect Places?
Yeah, and I was just like, that song's so hard to sing. How's she gonna do it? And she totally only sings, like, half the song.
Okay.
She doesn't do the high notes live. And I'm like, that's good, because that wrecked my voice.
Yeah.
So they, like, it's a seamless backing track, and it just sounds perfect.
Well
and
done, Lorde.
She had, like, a live band and, like, all these dancers, like, just doing, like, beautiful, like... you know, that contact improv kind of rubbing on each other kind of dancing. Oh, yeah. It was so good. And, like, a set that, like, was a glass box that raised and lowered out onto the stage or whatever. And nice. I was just like, fuck, man. Like, she was so David Bowie-y.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then I was like, fuck, man, Janelle Monáe is so Prince. Like, so, like, we haven't lost those artists. We just have their protégés, which are both amazing young women.
Yeah, and, like, both of them definitely were in contact with those artists prior to those artists.
Yeah, Prince helped produce stuff on Janelle Monáe's new album, and I can't wait to hear it.
Dirty Computer is gonna be so
amazing.
Her
new song about, like, The Way You Make Me Feel, I listened to that, like, 16 times in a row strutting down the street. It was...
Oh, yeah. I've listened to it so many times. And the...
Sorry.
And the second single off of it, Django Jane, is amazing because I've never really heard her rap before apart from, like, inside of a pop song. And she's always been sort of, like, I don't know, very clean in a way, which is sort of a weird word to use, but I think
But she was, like, not really controversial. She was never, like, or
she was,
even,
I, like, support women and, like, coming out of poverty is really hard and, like, black people don't get a lot of great opportunities and I'm using androids as a, you know... a stand-in for race, gender, and sexuality. Mm-hmm. But then this one, it was just like, hey, I'm bi. And I wanna fuck.
Yeah.
It's basically, and then Django Jane is just like, fuck you, you didn't do anything to help me. Like.
Yeah. And women are taking over now forever. Yeah. Like, queer women
Sit down,
men.
Over. Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
She's so amazing.
Yeah.
I was just feeling really just like, over like, just full of love, mm-hmm. like, just women.
Sounded like you had a lot of really energizing experiences.
Yeah, I sure did. It really recharged my battery pack.
Yeah, you need to. Mm-hmm. It's importante.
Yeah. So, it's good. And then the next week, then you came back.
Then I came back. And here
I
am.
So good.
You were in Victoria. You had a nice
I did. I did go over to Victoria for a little work shindig. Not shindig, but, like, some actual working. Which is another thing that I realize recharges my batteries to, like... Instead of working remotely with a team and everything's on the phone, I got to work in person for a bit, and it was just like, hey, we actually all do work really well together. So, like, all of these things that just minimized my stress in a very good way. So, yeah, I'm pretty fucking stoked about life right now.
Hell yeah, girl.
And, you know, maybe coincidentally, that has corresponded with the sun coming out again. Generally seems to help my mood, you know?
Yeah, it was such a... you came to my place today because you were... You were out in New Esty.
Hanging out with Biff Naked. No big deal.
As one does. We drove us back here and I just like almost fell asleep in the driver's seat just because it was so nice and sunny.
You didn't tell me that while we were driving.
I didn't actually almost fall asleep. I was just like, I want to pull over and take a nap right now because it's so warm and nice. It felt so good.
Yeah.
It was just like seeping into my cells. Although it wasn't bad where I was.
How was the United Kingdom, Katie?
It was something and a half. It was...
Was this your first time that you'd really been, or...?
Yeah, I'd never been to the UK before.
Oh, okay.
Never. I'd been to Dublin.
Oh, okay.
So I've been to Ireland before, and I've been to Amsterdam. I've been to Spain, and I've been to Portugal.
Did you never pass through London, or...?
Nope, never once. Not even for a minute. Generally speaking, I've always hubbed through Amsterdam, the Schiphol airport.
Oh, yeah. Because KLM is the bomb. And...
Yeah, and I was, they've become a lot more expensive lately, unfortunately, which is too bad. So I've had to transition to Iceland Air.
Yeah.
Who took me to and fro and at a pretty decent rate. And
you had to stop in Iceland for a couple of hours or whatever?
It was all cool. I just, I would bring a lot more of my own food next time because buying any amount of food in Iceland costs $1 million. So I got like, on my way home, I got a sandwich. You called me out on this. I was like, oh, you said a snack. You bought a scotch. I was like, yeah, scotch is a snack for your liver.
Give your liver something to do. Munch, munch, munch.
Exactly. So I got like a chicken tikka salad, one beer, and one tiny, tiny bottle of scotch. Ultimately cost me like $33 Canadian.
Ew.
Which is just so insane. But there you go. Anyway, yeah. So Iceland Air. It's kind of budget, and the planes are small, but really, really simple flights, like to and fro, and it all worked out great. Taking the train just makes a lot of sense in England, like getting the train to where I was staying, which like huge shout out to my mom's friend, Hillary, or my mom and dad's friend, I should say, who let me just use her apartment.
That is so cool.
It was so cool. And
I
we actually
be that
did...
kind of a lady.
You will be. And she and I were like, oh yeah, we are really similar people. Like I'm like, you're my vision of the future, pretty much. You live your own life. You have a job that like lets you sort of globetrot a lot. she has the most insane amount of, you know, flight points and stuff, because she does all this stuff so often. She's got a really set routine for, like, doing her turnaround to go out and do more things. And, yeah, and she took me out for lunch on Mother's Day, which was interesting, because Mother's Day is much earlier in the UK. And, which, of course, the server thought we were mother and child, so that was kind of fun. Yeah, it was super nice to meet her. She was really lovely, and I was like, oh, this is so great, and I want to be your best friend, so you will let me do this again.
Yeah, no kidding.
I wish I could pay her back in some way, but...
Was she there while you were staying there?
Just for 2 days. Nice. And she stayed, there's like a guest suite in her apartment building, and she just stayed in it for 2 nights. She's like, oh, why bother changing the sheets and stuff? Like, she's super cool.
That's so nice.
Just a really rad lady. Yeah, and so... So I got into England on the 3rd of March after probably 14 hours of travel, and I'd been awake for about 36 hours, and I immediately pretty much went over to, I had a little nap, and then I went over to meet these friends that I have had on Tumblr for the last, I don't know, 3-4 years maybe, and oh my God, they're the coolest people I have ever met, basically. They're a little younger than me, they're all, you know, 26, 27, 28. And just instantly they were like, come into our house. We've made you curry. We've made you gin drinks. We've made you all of these things. Aww. And they made me feel so welcome. And I got so wasted drunk and took my Uber home and barfed all day the next day. So I ruined a whole day. And then I went to Scotland. I went to Edinburgh for 3 days and took the goddamn Virgin East Coast train from King's Cross Station all the way up to Edinburgh. It's 4 hours, 15 minutes.
Isn't it so nice?
It is so fucking civilized is the word that I would use for it, because it was, you know, it was about $110 for me to go up there. Whatever. Like, that's a big distance. And you can just go to, they have all of these little, like, mini Waitrose and mini Sainsbury's and mini Tesco's in the train station. You can just buy shit, put it in your bag. No one cares what it is.
Yeah.
So I bought all of these tinnies, they call them, like, these little, like 250 milliliter mixed drinks in a can.
Little gin and tonic or vodka sodas.
Yeah, or vodka sodas or like a Pimm's, which tasted awful, but because I make a good Pimm's cup and they don't, obviously.
Not in a pre-mixed can.
No, definitely not. You need a cucumber slice in there. So yeah, it was just, it was so fun. I stayed at a really cute Airbnb in Leith with this really nice couple who was getting married like 2 days after I left, which was kind of a fun energy to have in the house. But it just, I was just, you know, doing my own thing. And I had managed to book a few stand-up spots.
Yay.
So I had a spot in Edinburgh, and then I managed
to... At the Stand Comedy Club,
which is like the big club.
Yeah.
And it was packed. It was a Monday night, and it was just absolutely shit-packed. There was 110 people in there easily. And it was like a kind of a lukewarm night. It was just people were going up, and they were getting laughs, but it was like, ugh. And then so I was like, well, I'm not expecting too much. I'm jet-lagged. I'm drunk. Whatever. And I went out, and I did 10 minutes of some of the best comedy I've ever done.
Yeah!
The fucking crowd just ate it up. It was such a good feeling.
Nice.
To go out there and just be like, oh, hello, I'm about to own you completely. And I did, and there was just like, thank you for owning us so thoroughly. We loved it very much.
That's so awesome. Like, what a way to shake out the comedy cobwebs.
Yes, is to go to a different country.
Yeah, put it in front of a new audience, and like, then your material is not something that everyone's like, because, you know, comics see each other do the same sets all the time and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And the audience was mostly audience and not other comedians, so that's probably nice.
It was so much audience, yeah. And there was a guy there who I started talking to, and he's like, oh, you're from Vancouver? I'm from Vancouver. And it turned out that he was like, I think his name's like Tom Stade or something like that. And he like came up with Brent Butt and all of these other folks, like when the Urban Well was still sort of the main comedy place to go.
Wow.
And so he didn't really know a lot of the people that I knew, but a really funny thing was that some of the, there are, you know, some quote unquote veteran comics in Vancouver who are not super well respected because not because they're old, but because they're bonkers.
Yeah.
And because they don't know how to interact with human people because they've been comedians for like 35 years. And so I didn't even name names. And this one person was like, do you know, you know, XYZ? I was like, oh yeah, of course I do. Everybody knows XYZ. And they're like, oh, I fucking hate that guy. And it was just like, oh, other people were chiming in. Was like, oh yeah, he came here and he like burned the room so bad and all this stuff. It was just so satisfying. I was like, I didn't know why I didn't like this person, but it's really nice to know that I shouldn't because he's a dick. So that was a really, really excellent time. But of course I don't sleep. you know this about me. Mm-hmm. That's just why we were talking so much on this trip, is because I was awake when you were awake, which was not a good time for me to be awake.
Yeah.
So when I went to Scotland, I was like, I need to do something about this, because this is that was the longest time I've been without marijuana in years, yep. Easily. Like 2 weeks without it. Yeah. So I had to go out and buy this herbal supplement for sleep. I started with
herbal, haha.
Well, yeah, I mean, this straight up is just like passion flower and shit. But I got the, Rescue Remedy, mm-hmm. Night, and I crossed that with, so I did two, I was doing two herbal supplements. I did that with Good Night, which is a super drug herbal combo.
What is that? What do you mean super drug?
Well, super drug is just a drugstore there, so it's just their brand name.
Oh, I see.
And I proceeded to have the most outlandish, detailed dreams that I have ever had, I think. And I don't know if it's because I smoke pot or because I'm on antidepressants, but I just generally don't dream.
Mm-hmm.
And so being off of the weed and on these weird herbal supplements made me just dream the craziest, horniest dreams.
Like, that's also Scotland. It's something in the water. It just makes you horny.
Yeah, well, so Scotland just smells like scotch.
Yeah.
At night.
Yeah.
In Edinburgh. I was just, like, walking down the street.
It's the brewery district.
And it's just burning peat and just smoke, and it's so nice. And it's, like, wet, minerally stone and all of these wonderful smells together. And just the way the road sounds when you walk on it in your mm-hmm. little boots is so, like, satisfying.
Oh, I miss it so bad.
So the dream that I had was about a soft apocalypse scenario where some wild woman and I had taken over a golf course and we were defending it from interlopers. And we, you know, we rigged the rigged the carts to run around on solar. So we were, like, zipping around and, like, defending our territory. And at night we would make love in the clubhouse. This is a great dream. I highly recommend these weird pills. And I also took your advice and I went to the Captain's Bar.
Yay, the Captain's Bar. And I remember, like, I was just feeling really melancholy because it was, like, 9 in the morning and you're like, yep, I'm going to go there. And I was just like, please send me a picture. And I was just like, I was so, like, physically remembering and, like, having memories about that place. Mm-hmm. And then you were just like, Chris, are you haunting me right now?
You're in my body at this exact moment.
It's like, did I astral project for a minute? Maybe.
I felt very, very warm and tingly. It might have been the scotch I was drinking, but but no, I felt like somebody had hijacked me for a little bit, so I figured it was probably you.
Yeah, I just, like, that's my favorite bar, and I'm so happy that you went there. Like, I basically made that place my second home.
It was really lovely. And it's so tiny.
So tiny, so cute, but just the fucking nicest people.
Yeah.
There's always music. Like, mm-hmm. It was just,
it was great.
So good.
It's
so
one of my favorite parts.
I'm really, really, really glad that you went there and found it.
And I went to the gay bar that you recommended, but I went for lunch because I'm just that kind of homo. But you know what? I had an absolutely delightful flatbread. It was so good.
Yeah, and served to you by some tasty bears.
Some delicious old bears who were like, oh yeah, hello, my lesbian brethren, or sistren, or whatever you want to call it.
Lesbian comrade.
My comrades. So I feel like, yeah, Edinburgh is a city with a lot of magic, and you primed me for that, mm-hmm. So I'd really like to experience it with you someday.
Yeah.
I think that would be super, super fun.
I want to go back so bad. And our friend Nick, who I was like, oh, he should meet you at the Captain's because he works there and mm-hmm. show you around or whatever, he just keeps telling me, he's like, come back for Beltane. That's like when all the pagans, like, have an orgy, basically.
Yeah, he's like, you should come to Beltane. I'm like, I don't want to have sex with all of your friends. He's, like, showing me videos and pictures on his phone, and as was the Polish woman who was running the bar.
Nice.
She's like, I am a bit of a, what do you say, pyromaniac? She's, like, showing me all these pictures of fires she set. It was great.
It's a very fire-forward kind of festival.
Yeah, I've gathered that.
And lots of burning.
So it was just, like, a really, really incredible time. Scotland was great. Got to see our pal Luna in Glasgow for a night. We went and saw the fish fucking movie.
The Glasgow Banter.
The wee Glasgow Bant, yeah. It was just so good to see her. And then, yeah, so London. I don't even know if I like the city so much or if it's just that I'm love my friends.
Yeah.
They were so great. So it was Hannah, Becca, Kim, Charlotte, and Niall, who are all people that I've just known for years, especially Becca, Niall, and Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured, like, it would be weird to meet them. And It wasn't at all. They were just exactly as they seem online.
That's so nice.
Which is so strange because,
God bless the
you know,
internet.
Very, very rarely does that happen. Although when I met you, I kind of felt the same way. I was just like, oh, you are exactly the vibe you put out online. Like, you're really honest about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been so cool insofar as it's like you these people you think you're going to get along with, but you don't know for sure. And then you meet them and it's like, oh, yeah. Okay, it's like we've known each other for years because we have.
Yeah.
So the like, acclimatization period is a little bit shorter, I think. So it was, so I saw them, went to Scotland for like 5 days, came back, and just, they spent so much time with me, and I'm so appreciative. We went to the Victoria and Albert Museum together and inadvertently created a meme. A low-grade meme.
Tell me about this, because I only saw the aftermath of it, and it just seemed bad.
It was just really funny, honestly, like, Becca's so funny. She's such a funny, funny, zippy person, and I really like her. And she has a degree in the classics, basically, in history. So she's like, she knows a lot about sculpture and whatnot. But she was showing me this list, this lineup of, like, busts of famous dead guys in marble or whatever, and she's like, oh, you know, Vicomte, whatever, the ninth, bitch, this guy, bitch, Oliver Cromwell, bitch. So I was like, oh, that was really funny. We should go back and videotape it. Because it's like a thing from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right? It's just like, Galileo, bitch. So I videoed her doing this. And then he's like, Oliver Cromwell, bitch. I was like, total bitch. So you can hear me on the video. And I posted it to Tumblr thinking this is going to be really funny for like the 15 people who know us.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool, our friends are, like, connecting. That's great.
Being silly
and being
museum.
So silly and having a great time in this museum. And then for some reason, like, a bunch of, like, British nationalists or something were like, how dare you say these things about Oliver Cromwell?
But he was a bad dude.
And they're like, oh, you're all fat Tumblr bitches. You look like Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff. The people in this video make me physically ill. It was just so funny. And then so people just started kind of piling on and being like, but Oliver Cromwell was a total bitch. So that's the discourse now, is that Oliver Cromwell equals bitch, basically. And, yeah, I was like, at first I was like, oh my God, Beck, I'm so sorry that I dragged you into this by posting it. And you know what? Our friendship is now forged in the flame.
No
so
kidding.
We've been through a trolling.
I've never, yeah, never had any of my things blow up like that before. That's crazy to, like, you just attracted all these weirded neo-Nazis.
Yeah, like, it was. We have no idea why that happened. So it did, though. Whatever. Anyway. So, yeah, spending time with them was really, like, the highlight of the whole trip for me. And doing stand-up also was really incredible.
I had another set in London, hey?
I had two sets in London. I had them on the Sunday and the Monday. I was supposed to have three, but when I was too hungover, four. That's my bad. I'm not a professional. So the Sunday I performed at South Kensington Comedy Club, and then the Monday I performed at this place called the Betsy Trotwood, which is sort of well-known as being just a sort of, like, really cool little basement club.
Nice! The Betsy Trotwood.
It's a really funky pub, and it has this cool, ancient-looking basement, and that's where the comedy happens.
It's got that good dank.
It's got really good
dank,
extremely good dank. And then the South Kensington Comedy Club is like up the stairs in a different pub, like right by the South Kensington Tube station, the Tube. And so I got there like 15 minutes before the show. There's like five people. I'm like, whatever, I'll perform to five people. I don't give a shit. And then suddenly a crap load of tourists showed up. There was just like four women from Seattle. There was a couple from Denver. There was a couple from France. There was a couple from New York. So there ended up being like 15 real audience members and like eight or nine comics, so you know, like 20 people is not a bad show sometimes.
Totally.
I had a great set, and it was really, really fun. And then the next day, I went to the Tower of London, and I got recognized.
What?
By the American girls who were in the front row, and they were like, "Oh my God, you were one of the comedians last night. You're awesome.
Oh my God,
we loved you.
That's hilarious.
It was so cute.
London has that ability, like you run into the same people over and over in London, which is weird.
People run into me easily because I'm.
Fair enough, but it's like, it's a big fucking city, but I had like some weird magic shit happen in London that it was just like, why do I keep running into you? Mm-hmm. This is pretty amazing. That's very funny. Didn't you also have someone in Edinburgh like do like a drive-by like, you were awesome on bikes or something? They were like,
yeah,
dudes,
oh yeah,
on bikes.
That totally did happen. I forgot about that. But yeah, after the stand, like, this doesn't happen super often to me at shows. It happened to me, like, the first time I ever did the Comedy Mix, like, that people leaving were like, oh, hey, you were great.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, thank you. it's happened a few times in Portland, but, like, this was the first time it had happened in a while where, like, a bunch of people who were leaving were just like, you were so awesome, you were great. And there were definitely two people leaving on bikes who, like, biked by and was like, you're funny. Which, hey, you can always do that to me. You can always catcall me if it is telling me that I was funny. So I'm fine with that. Yeah, and everything else, like, I don't really, you know, I went to a lot of galleries and did that kind of stuff and drank a lot of booze. And I had crazy emotions the whole time. Like, mm-hmm. just not sleeping and, like, realizing that, oh, I have these new friends now. And now I have to immediately leave and not see them for who knows how long. And so, like, I was talking to you constantly. We, like, both cried our faces off on chat together at one point.
There was definitely one evening where it lined up that I was, like, home. It was, like, 3 a.m. for me.
Yeah, and you were drunk, and I was just awake and just maudlin for some reason. I don't even know why now, but I was just tired, and I was just, like, I don't know how to be a person. It's so hard. And so we're just, like, sobbing on the line
and it was
together.
Just, like, the most codependent bullshit ever. It was just like, I just miss you so much, and I wish I could be there for you, to blah, blah, blah. And I sent you a picture of my, like, crying face.
I did the same thing when I left, like, Becca and Niall's house on my last night. I, like, sent a picture to Tessa. I was like, look how hard I'm crying. And she's like, oh, my honey. And, of course, now I'm home, and I'm like, I'm fine now. Like, I'm okay. I just needed to be a huge baby for a minute.
It's fun to have big emotions.
No, it isn't. It's awful, and I hated it very much. And it was good, though, to know that I do feel that hard sometimes, because here's the other thing, is that, like, I don't know how much of that was me not sleeping, me meeting new people, me, like, realizing that I'm in love with a big, like, landmass that I need to go back to as soon as possible. Also that I started bupropion 4 weeks ago, and now I think it's, like, getting up to a level in my system that I can actually notice the difference in my, like, brain juice.
Oh, okay.
So there's also, yeah, there's that, and I'm feeling very different than I have been. I wouldn't say, like, happier necessarily, just more, like...
You have a range of emotions instead of just, like, a flatness, or...
Yeah, well, I think it's, like... For lack of a better term, I feel turned on. Like, not sexually, although sure, but, like, but just, like, oh, okay, like, I'm not in standby mode anymore. I'm, like, actually awake and ready to,
you live,
like,
in your life. Person.
Yeah, I'm, like, I, like, showed up and I'm here in my body now.
Cool.
Which is kind of a cool vibe. And it's also Pisces season, so that explains why I've been crying so much.
It's just the end of Pisces. This is the new moon in Pisces today.
Yeah, well, it's, I've cried a lot in the last month.
Yeah, so. You're clearing out all that shit.
I cried more in the last month than I have probably in the last 2 years, so... There was nothing super extra wrong. I just needed to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's out. It's out of there.
Yeah.
Just cried it all out. It's not cried a, it out.
Cry it out. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Having emotions.
Yeah, but I do still hate it.
Yeah, why do you hate it so much?
I don't know. It's just, like, it makes me feel, like, really vulnerable, and, like, other people are responsible for my feelings if I'm crying near them, and then they're uncomfortable because they might cry because of that, and I'm just like, I'm sorry. They're like, it's... fucking fine. Like, it's totally okay. Like, no, it's not. I'm lame and annoying. Like, no, no, no. It's fine.
You're so, allowed to have feelings.
Sounds fake, but okay. Anyway, great trip. Loved it so much. Can't wait to go back. Want to be there longer. And Tessa and I have talked about going, you know, for like 6 weeks to 2 months or something, because she can work while we're there and I can do stand-up.
That would be so fun.
There's so much stand-up in that city. And I could go to Glasgow. I could go to... Like, I love Scotland so much. And I love trains, Chris.
Yes.
Me love train.
You could even go out to, like, Wales or, like...
Why not?
Like, Eastern
I
want
to go to the White Cliffs of Dover.
Yeah.
I want to see all this shit.
We can reenact Poldark, where we just, like, stand on the cliffs and just...
Should,
like,
I just scythe? Just scythe to my heart's content?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I also wrote down matching tattoo ideas, because when we were drunk and crying, we were talking about getting matching tattoos, which is a terrible plan.
Oh my god. But not, like, matching in the same spot.
No.
But just, like, corresponding tattoos.
Yes, that's what
other.
I was saying. Like,
but it was like that, you know, I'm super obsessed with florals and you're super obsessed with nautical stuff, so I could get a nautical tattoo and you could get a floral tattoo.
That's a good idea.
And that would be our, like, it wouldn't be like we have matching tattoos, but you have a little piece of me and I have a little piece of you.
I like that. I did write matching. I meant corresponding tattoos. I was like, what about geometric flowers? Could be a cool look.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I mean, I have nautical tattoos. Am I still so into nautical stuff? Probably. I do like a boat.
Yeah.
I found there was a, I don't know, a barge, like, what do you call, like, a houseboat that just sort of sits
on the
Thames?
Yeah, those flat, they're barges, yeah.
There was one that was called the Dusky Parakeet. It's just like, oh, I love this. It's just like a little low, sloopy type of thing. Mm-hmm. That's not a sloop, but you know what I mean.
I like those kinds of boats. In Edinburgh, in the canal near where I was working, there was a little barge that was also a little restaurant, and they served a really fucking good bacon roll.
Nice.
Yeah.
I definitely have a sign. I took so many pictures of signs. That is something that I really love to do. I mean, it's not great for an audio medium, but I did get some really freaking funny ones that were. So I made a compilation of all of the most inappropriate signs I found. Here's one from Kew Gardens, which was Woody Materials Only. Which was like, there's a new name for your spank bank. Munchbox.
Nice.
Also at Kew Gardens.
Like a snack pack or something?
I have Ass Man for some reason. Don't know. It's something German. Like a kid's toy store with a big sign out front that says crazy for goo.
Oh, no.
We call that slime over here, guys.
Yeah.
And just a sign that was on like a piece of plumbing that just says stop cock. Just stop it. It's time we stop them all. Pretty good. And also my favorite sign in right by the place I was staying in Leith was just bacon rolls, etc.
Yeah. What more do you need?
What more do you fucking need? You're good to go.
Did you have G2G. A couple bacon rolls?
Did not have a single bacon roll.
Oh.
I had several cheese toasties, though.
Okay.
I was mostly cheese and tomato toasties. I was going ham on those. Mmm, it's so good.
And bacon rolls are so fucking good.
I don't really like English bacon very much.
Mm.
It's weird.
Well, fine. Wow.
Fine.
Whatever.
You have to ask for streaky bacon if you want the North American shit.
They don't have that. They sometimes do.
They have it pretty often these days.
Shut up.
It was an option many places I went.
Okay, fine. Well, you took some of my advice, and for that I'm grateful.
Yes, of course I did. And of course, I didn't take your advice, but I did a what would Chris do situation on one of my on my last day, and I was like, I'm going to take myself out for lunch. And I walked into a pub, and I'm like, oh, I've committed to this pub, and I don't really like what's on the menu. And then they ignored me for 15 minutes, so I got up and left and walked to the Italian restaurant next door, got a huge plate of creamy pasta, got 500 milliliters of wine, and then ate some salted caramel gelato, and it was the best lunch.
Yeah.
That and I just sent
amazing.
You pictures of it.
Sounds like, amazing.
I'm doing a you lunch. It was delicious.
I like it.
Yeah. So that was my trip.
It was so good.
It was so good.
I really, yeah, I'm so happy that you like it there.
Yeah. I can't not go. Like, so my buds have said that they want to come out in September. I'm hoping that they do that because I really, really want to take them to Roberts Creek,
mm-hmm.
where we conceived of the podcast.
Yeah.
We gave birth to the podcast.
This is basically, by the way, our two-year
anniversary.
Yeah, like we released our first podcast.
March 15th.
Yeah, and this is the 17th or whatever today. And
good gravy.
Yeah.
We did it.
Seems good.
That's just don't give up.
Our 100th episode kind of eclipsed the 2-year thing, but mm-hmm. it does make sense being that there are 52 weeks in a year that they would kind of coincide together.
That's how numbers do, usually. You know? But yeah, it's, wow. We just won't stop.
No. You can't make us.
Yeah, they tried to make us go to rehab. We said no. Man, that was a stinky fart face that you just made at me.
I've just been at an addictions conference all day, Katie, so I don't appreciate you making light of rehab.
All right, well, what time are we at with this? Oh, fuck me.
You raced through that pretty quick.
I did. Well, I always assume that people are going to be bored with what I'm saying about things, but...
it's funny, people don't really like hearing about travel stories, but I did.
Yeah.
I just like hearing that you were happy and you were getting some creativity and...
On my last day, I wrote in my entry, I wrote, a bitch does not want to come home.
Yeah.
But then I wrote a list of all the things that I'm looking forward to when I get home, which I've now seen and enjoyed. I've got Tessa, the rats, Brita water, Coke Zero, weed, sobriety from booze, not today, my own bed, Chris and the podcast, good internet, my tumble dryer, therapy, sleep, everything where I want it, soft water, a haircut. The opportunity for a soft reboot on my life and more honesty.
Oh, wow.
So that was all the stuff that I felt really strongly about.
Soft reboot on your life.
Yeah, I just, you know what, the trip really felt like it kind of awakened, looking for the past tense of that.
Mm-hmm.
Awakened?
Yeah.
Awoken.
An awakening.
I had a bit of an awakening, like, not quite like Estella getting her groove back, but just insofar as, like, I spent enough time alone and enough time trying to figure out what I wanted to do on a given day that I was like, oh, I can do that with my life now too.
Yeah, like, I can actually think about what I need and want and actually go do it.
Yeah, and I'm starting to like figure out the things that I want out of life, and like I'm starting to figure out kind of how to ask for them a little bit better. And who's to say if that will go well or painfully, but it's necessary.
Yeah.
I need to be able to say, like, hey, this is what I'm into. How do you feel about it with people? And for them to, like, hopefully enthusiastically be like, yes, let's do that.
Nice.
Or that they'll, you know, counter with, not quite that. What about this thing? You know?
It's an ongoing dialogue.
That's all okay. Human relationships. That's work. That's romance. That's everything.
Yeah, that's friends
and family.
There's like, because we did like a team building exercise in my office, just informally. Informally, we all got the app CoStar, which is an astrology app, and put in our star chart basically, and they make it really simple, and they just go through like each planet and what house it's in for you and how that affects
your
whatever.
Sextile Uranus or whatever.
But we just like compared notes, and it was just like, yeah, sometimes like the thing in the house and the planet and whatever, it's like sometimes these things are the same, where it's just like, oh, the thing that you have a lot of challenges with is the thing that's going to set you free and like transcend, and it's like, oh, most of us have that, and it's like, well, that's just a human experience, isn't it, right? Like, the thing that you have the hardest time with, once you just lean into it, embrace it, and go through it, then you're going to come out way changed and probably a better, fuller version of yourself, instead of just, like, staying behind that barrier the whole time.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty amazing.
Just worried that my actualized self is real fucking needy. But that's okay.
And your current self can feel needy as well, so, like, why not try to
just go there.
I think the more self-actualized you'll become, the more you can start fulfilling your own needs instead of necessarily needing to seek it from others. You're wiggling your eyebrows. I don't necessarily mean like that.
I just always want to be rude. I don't know why. I'm just so fucking rude, man.
You got a rude attitude.
I just got a rude attitude. I'm rude now.
Katie went to the UK and she came back a rude
boy. Oi, innit? Oi, mate.
Came back a rude boy.
Oi, bruv.
Did you meet any, like, fun English or Scottish people, like, that, besides the friends, like, just, like, randos at pubs and stuff like that, or?
Well, there was a guy at the Captain's who looked just like John Byrne, I don't know if he's a poet, but he's definitely a painter, he used to be married to Tilda Swinton, and he was just ripping on his vape, just straight ripping on that vape.
Old
that
men vaping.
It was just a ton of old men vaping.
Vaping inside the bar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was great. Just old man vaping, sucking down that robot D. Old man vaping, it's fun for you and me. Anyway, so that was fun. I didn't meet that many Scottish people, honestly. There's only a couple Scottish comics at the show. A lot of them were from, like, London and just come up there because it's cheaper to be. I don't know, man. It was just, I met your friend, who's Canadian.
Yeah. So I didn't actually introduce you to any of my Scottish friends.
No, I didn't.
But
I didn't
we'll get when up we with them. When we go back, we'll go hang out with like the Big Bear crew because they're fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And go do pub quiz at Planet Bar and go do some karaoke.
Yeah, I didn't go to Arthur's Seat. I think I saw it. Is it the thing that just kind of looks like that?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay.
Well, that's could see that. Technically the like Juddy Outy part is the Craigs.
Okay, the Craigs.
And then the lump on top is Arthur's Seat, and you go up and there's like a big like stone cairn, and it's like, yeah, King Arthur was totally here.
A real guy.
Yeah, totally a real guy. And, like, Edinburgh is compared to Rome because it's also got seven hills, just like Rome does. So I don't know if you went up to Calton Hill at all.
I didn't go anywhere.
Oh, man.
A lot of
climbing in that city.
Yeah, I did not have the ideal shoes, honestly. Like, I just took a pair of these, like, boots that I had because I thought it was raining and that I would need waterproof shoes. I really should have had runners because I rolled my ankles so many times.
Aww.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing, is I physically hurt myself a lot.
Oh
on this
no!
Trip. Yeah, I am.
So
I am. I could just like pull my pants down right now and show you all of the horrible bruises I have all over my legs. But
you just from falling down all the time?
Well, I had like these big sort of yellowy green bruises right near my elbows, and I don't know where they came from. Probably just from hauling my luggage and shit.
Yeah.
But the second time, like, once I got back to England after my trip to Scotland and got very drunk, and I don't really think this was the alcohol so much as the fact that it was just very wet and slippery, because, like, I had all of my things ready to go, and I was getting, and I was alighting on the step out of my friend's apartment.
Oh, you took a tumble?
And I just, my foot went out from under me on the marble stair, like, because it just is slick, right? And I just, ass over tea kettle, and I just bashed my knee, and I twisted my left ankle really hard. and just walked on it anyway, kind of, and I think that helped, but now it's really achy and sore, so I just, like, kind of hurt my body a lot, wasn't great to it, put a lot of alcohol into it, ate decent food, for the most part, a lot of pies.
Nice.
So good, lots of chips.
I love it. Did you go to a late night chippy in Scotland?
No, I didn't. I only had fish and chips one time. It was really good. Yeah, and I was supposed to go for that bacon buddy or whatever on my last day, but I ended up going to a place called Bohemia directly across from the station and had an incredible breakfast.
Nice.
I was like, oh, I'm supposed to get something like crappy, but for £8, I got these two big slabs of sourdough bread smeared with avocado and lemon juice.
Oh.
And two, like, really soft poached eggs. And I just, like, cut them up and, like, covered them in salt and pepper and just bit into them. And then I had a big beer and a flat white.
Nice.
It was really... Actually, no, it was a black coffee. It was the first time I've ever had black coffee. And I was too embarrassed to ask for cream, so...
Oh, my God.
So I was just like, oh, I like this, actually. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, so... Yeah, really fun solo adventure. I think, ultimately, my favorite way to travel is with somebody that I know and love, especially, like, because I was really touch-starved on this trip, which was sort of a weird thing for me, because normally I'm just like, get off of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that I do actually really love my wife.
Oh, that's a very good realization.
Yeah,
to
and
have.
I miss her at night so bad. Like, I really miss being able to reach out and touch her in the dreaming hours, as it were. And, yeah, we missed each other a lot, and it's been really nice to be home, and just back into our sort of old routine.
Yeah, but the way that you'd like to travel, ideally,
would be, like, if we were together, but we did separate things sort of during the day, and then came back together for meals, is that's, like, the best way for me. It's like, let's do stuff in the evening together, let's go for, like, lunch together, like, meet up, go for lunch, meet up, go for dinner, or whatever, or just do, like, breakfast and lunch, whatever. But I love to just have a lot of time to myself to explore and to not have to worry about what other people are interested in, if I'm boring them, if I'm going too slow, if I'm going too fast. Because I'm very sensitive to other people's needs and I'm not comfortable with stepping over them. So either somebody needs to be very, very forceful, but then generally I will let myself be stepped on.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just really into whatever I'm doing, which is hard to find. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, finding a few things you want to do with people in the same city and then doing those things, but the rest of the time doing your own thing. That's the best.
Sounds awesome.
It's really the best. That was like when I went to Spain with where my sister-in-law and her boyfriend were living. And then Katya, my other sister-in-law, friend of the podcast, past guest Katya Walshin, she came out too. And we all kind of like did exactly that. Like we did stuff together during the days, but not every single day. Mm-hmm. We didn't all do the same stuff. Like, yeah. It was really like a good
vibe. I like that a lot because I hate... Like, I always say this and then people make fun of me because it's like, I used to do this for a living, but I hate organizing groups to travel.
No, it's awful.
Or
it's
to
terrible.
Go places. Like, when it's like, you know, I went to Victoria with a bunch of my colleagues, we were all kind of there, and then it was like, oh, where should we go for dinner? What should we do? Whatever. I'm just like, well, I'm going to this place, so if anyone wants to join me, and then they just all would, you know?
Right.
But it's like, I don't want to organize a group. I hate going to a place and be like, oh, there's not enough room for us. Where should we go? Like, what should we do? So, like, if you had a big group of people and you all just kind of, came together for certain times, but mostly just, like, spent it apart, that would be super.
Yeah, and it's like, what did I was trying to figure out a word for it, like, because it's sort of what Tessa and I are trying to figure out in our life right now is, like, independent togetherness.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, because I, you know, we both sort of gave ourselves over to the marriage really early on, and now we're just kind of like, well, what about who we are as people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, independent of that, but also, you know, working on those two things, I think, strengthens
I think
the
that's
relationship.
Called companionship, isn't it?
Yeah, well, for sure, but, you know, there's a lot of toxic patterns that people fall into, or just not even toxic, that's sort of an extreme example, but, like, just things that aren't productive, things that sort of keep you in a stasis position. And she's somebody who really, really likes change.
Mm-hmm.
She got a new job,
mm-hmm.
a really incredible new job that she started and that will allow us to travel.
That's so awesome.
And I'm just like, I want to travel so bad. And I was talking about it on Instagram and my dad commented like, oh, you finally got bit by the travel bug. I was like, I think it's always been there. I just like couldn't afford it or just like felt like it wasn't realistic. But, you know, you make certain things priorities in your life.
Yeah. We were talking about, like, you know, we have friends that travel all the time, and it's amazing. And I'm just like, how do they do it? Like, you know, we've got the same job or whatever. How come, like, they can save up and I can? And it's like, oh, they're way more disciplined than I am about, like, your day-to-day spending. Whereas I'm very much a, like, I don't want to delay any kind of, I don't want to delay anything. And I don't want to, like, be so, like, regimented during my day that in order to save up for a big experience, I just want to have a good life all the time.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is a bad way to be, but it does make it hard to, like, take a big kind of trip, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Just hoping that that kind of
comes up. I got very lucky with this one. Like, if it hadn't been for the accommodations, it would have been so much more expensive.
Yeah.
But as it was, I only had to pay about, like, $350 Canadian, maybe $400 total for everything. The flight was... It was $750, but then I had to pay more for... I love it talking explicitly about money. It was $750 flat, but it did not include luggage, so I ended up having to pay another $157, which was, like, ultimately... So the whole thing cost about $950 mm-hmm. for the plane ride, which is fairly average for
going to anywhere in Europe. Yeah, I was going to say a grand would... Do for flights or whatever.
And then during the week, you know, I had some fun money given to me for my birthday by my parents and my in-laws, which helped a ton. Like, it ended up paying for, like, a lot of going out and having fun and having some food and picking up groceries, that kind of stuff. Really, really cool. I only spent about $1,000. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's 2 weeks. So I could easily spend that at home.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so...
That's super doable then to, like...
Yeah, and I just... If I can still figure out cheap ways to travel, you know, like, I really do love Airbnbs. I know they're not great, but, you know, staying in ones that are a room in people's houses are a little bit less destructive than, like, whole apartments because they aren't the same sort of, like, rental, you know...
That's true. Suck hole. I don't want to have roommates even when I'm traveling.
No, that's totally legit. I just don't personally like hotels. I find them really weird. And they're very expensive.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Airbnb I stayed in, I had a private bathroom and they went to work every day. So I never really saw them
except for
like half an hour. Maybe I would see them a day and they had a cute dog and they left out like the most elaborate breakfast stuff for me. Like
nice.
I put the spread on Instagram cause it was just so Insta worthy. It was a beautiful, like a continental style. So shout out to Will and Iona. Congratulations on your marriage.
That's so cute. They were all getting all excited.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's pregnant too.
Oh.
Cute. Scandalous.
Cute.
Shotgun wedding.
Oh my goodness. Aw, that's so nice. Yeah. I just get wistful. I really want to do some traveling for sure.
Yeah. Let's fucking go, man.
Into it.
Let's just fucking go.
Okay. We'll do this podcast from the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's going to stop us?
Yeah. Nobody. Nobody! God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back next week with another round of awesome guests.
Yeah, whoever that is, I don't know yet.
I've got people lined up.
Oh, really?
Well, sort of.
Great.
Okay. See you guys next week.
Bye.